Welcome to Heavy Networking, and today's show is sponsored by Arcus. Now, the Arc OS operating system has been maturing and reaching customers with a ground-up approach to a new way of thinking and looking at networking devices. And we talked to them about a year ago, but the company has really moved on since then. So in today's show, we're talking again with Keo Patel, who's the CTO and founder of the company, and Murali Gundalaru, who's a VP of product management, about just how quickly they added support for the Jericho 2 ASIC, their new Arc IQ analytics platform, which they're bringing to market, and also the vote of confidence that they got from investors recently after they raised a $30 million funding round, which should really sort of say to you as an audience member, these people have got something that's really serious. Let's get straight into the discussion. So, Keo, let's open up the discussion about you had a let's quickly reintroduce the audience to Arcus and set the baseline for our discussion today. Tell me the elevator pitch around Arcus again.
So, Arcus was founded to enrich human experience by interconnecting people, machines, and data by providing a software power networking transformation to the interconnected world. What it means is that our mission is to democratize networking by providing best-in-class software, the most lower cost of TCO at the end of the day for our customers.
And the way that you do that is you have the Arc OS network operating system. That's the key thing that you came to market with first, which is a operating system for installing on a wide range of switch hardware, and it's quite unique. Now, in our previous podcast, Keo, we were talking about Arcus as an operating system that you built from the ground up with a unique container model so that the applications go in it. And that's what gave you an architecture for building this operating system to bring it forward, and combined with the fact that you've been recruiting some of the best developers in the market. Now, Arcus has moved on from there, and now you're bringing a whole new range of announcements. So let's leap into those announcements, which is support for the new Broadcom Jericho 2 chipset.
Right. Last month, we announced our support for Jericho 2-based chip that comes out of Broadcom. It's part of the StrataDNX family. It's a 10 terabit non-blocking chip with amazing amount of port densities at 100 and 400 gig. And us providing that support, unique opportunity to our customers to get into a routing realm, which was otherwise not possible without the product support that was given by the OEMs.
Mm-hmm. So what you're saying here is you're now working directly with Broadcom rather than with the OEMs. You can take the ASIC that Broadcom's ringing through for the Jericho 2. We'll talk in a minute about what's amazing about the Jericho 2, but you're now being able to develop the code before the hardware's available?
Yes, we've been working very closely with Broadcom, Broadcoms of the world. We've been working very closely with the ODMs of the world that would end up making a system out of a Broadcom's chip over which Arcus would run and effectively convert that system into a high-end router.
Right. Now, the key thing about the Jericho 2 is it's got this 400 gig support. And that means what? Lots of interfaces or just higher speeds?
That means both, Greg. At 400 gigs, you get a lot of port speed. You also can split 400 gigs into multiple 100 gigs. That gives you a higher port density.
The sort of ODMs you're talking here are people like Celestica, Delta, EdgeCore, and Quanta. So for a lot of the very large-scale cloud providers, this is their preferred hardware platform. And that means that they're getting hardware independence. That's a key feature of what Arcus is bringing to customers.
That is very correct. Along with the hardware independence, you also get now a support for the software that can be evaluated once for the routing and can naturally apply itself at the different points in the networks for the same ODM as well as for the different sets of the ODMs for the different points in the network. Yeah.
So I think there must be an advantage for you as well. You're bringing one network operating system across a range of switches. Does that mean, as a vendor, the amount of effort you put into testing and quality assurance and feature development is simplified? Is there an advantage there compared to our traditional way of, you know, every switch platform got its own operating system? Is there an advantage for you?
Yes, it helps us build one network, one architecture. It helps our customers deploy one network, one architecture. And in doing that, there are cost savings associated at both the ends. Specifically for us, it helps us build a nimble software base that can be scaled out in terms of layer 3 routing and switching.
And I think it's the other thing too, is because you're focusing on just the one operating system, you've got a faster speed to market. I guess you're announcing support for Jericho 2, the chip's shipping later this year in volume, but you're already there with the operating system and you're announcing the features and support you've got for it.
That is correct.
When you've got multiple chips that have different feature sets, how do you unify the operating system features that are available? Or is it depending on the platform that you've deployed Arc OS on, maybe you have a few extra features that you might not have if it was on a white box with a different chipset?
Right. Every chip will have its own set of capabilities, Ethan, and therefore there has to be some variance in there. But more specifically at network level and a fabric level, what you end up doing is help enable full fabric. And the fabric has different points, as you know, and different capabilities, and you help enable those capabilities.
When I was preparing for the show, Murali, I was looking at the documentation. You're very big on this routing-centric network transformation idea. I just think there's something in there, and I wanted you to sort of explain a little bit more about why you think routing-centric transformation matters more than, well, I guess non-routing transformations of the previous eras.
High-performance routing is table stakes for networking, whether it's the hyperscale cloud providers with edge computing becoming proliferating and edge computing use cases proliferating, 5G rollouts happening, you need cutting edge solutions that are deployable in a highly programmable, scalable and cost efficient manner.
Right. How does Arcus deliver high performance routing? I mean, part of that's going to be the silicon, but also going to be the architecture of your software. Is it a combination of the two?
Absolutely, it is a combination of the two. The ability to support scale up and scale out designs drives from a software architecture that can actually enable that. And then the adaptation layer or abstraction layer to be able to program different variety of chipsets using the same software above is what enables us to differentiate and put our solutions or offer our solutions across the entire spectrum of the network.
Yeah, I guess if I was a telco and I was trying to build out the 5G, and the big thing about 5G at the moment is they've got to build out their backbones to the next level. So, you know, replace the 10 gig, 25 gig, 100 gigs with 50 gig, 100 gig, 400 gig. Having one operating system across a range of hardware platforms and modern hardware platforms that might be substantially cheaper, like the white box type, you know, the ODM manufacturers, could actually be a way to really address this speed leap that they need to make, that carriers need to make for 5G.
That's absolutely right. And also, the key point there is that also enables the ability to redefine the router economics, because now you have high density 100 gig and 400 gig with a quantum leap in terms of power efficiency. So the lower power per gigabit draw, 70% lower with this Jericho announcement, for example. So there's significant cost efficiencies. And also what that does is that you now have the ability to provide a solution that offers lesser number of devices in the backbone and focuses more on the edge of the network.
Well, I guess the flip side here is that a Jericho 2 chips is, because it's a 400 gig, I think you're talking like 128 gig, 400 gig interfaces. Is that right? I think it's some of the like when you get the maximum size model.
Yeah, so you're talking about one chip that has 10 terabits, right?
Yeah.
So you can essentially get 48 ports of 100 gig, which essentially is 12 ports of 400 gig per chip.
Yep. All right.
And that, and when you can stack them, and when because the architecture is so scalable, you have now the ability to scale, put multiple chipsets either as one form factor or across an open aggregated environment to be able to scale up as well as scale out, depending
upon
your use case.
So what you're saying there is I could, you know, 12 by 400 gigs, but I could stack them into an ECMP type architecture, or maybe even get some sort of a chassis-based architecture where I can get dozens of 400 gig ports in a single unit, or scale out if I wanted to do the one IU model. That's the sort of thing that you're looking at here.
That's exactly right.
And I think the important thing here is that the less boxes you have, the less power you're burning, which especially for the 5G telcos is important, because a lot of those edge data centers or those POPs, as they call them, they don't have unlimited amounts of power like a big public cloud data center, which has megawatts of resource. These things need low power to keep costs down, but also because they just don't physically have the power or the space sometimes.
That is absolutely correct. And not only there is advantage in stacking from a hardware perspective, but there's an advantage in stacking from software perspective. For examples, when you run protocols like IGP, if you represent them as one node, say, and you stack these boxes together, and as many boxes you stack together, if you represent them as one node, that's one IGP instances, as opposed to n IGP instances if you keep them separate, right? So there's a huge advantage from a network perspective in scaling these networks when you start to abstract and scale the control plane out.
Now, you've also, I want to cast back to a previous show that we did. You're also bringing new protocols out and bringing them through the, you're partnering with people in the IETF to bring out protocols that change the way that works. So I wanted to flag that here. And if you want to go back to the previous show that we did, you can get more information on that protocol and listen to that show. But I wanted to emphasize this because I think it's important to understand that Arcus isn't sort of just copying what's happening in the market. You're actually making your own way.
That's absolutely right, Greg. We've built the software from first principles across the entire spectrum of not just the control plane, but also the integration points down into the data plane abstractions as well.
Right. Well, that discussion that we had last time about that protocol was really amazing. And then it sent me down a rabbit hole of IETF standards to try and research. And I was looking and I was going like, yeah, that makes sense. I mean, and I guess you've got customers that are definitely using that so that they can get the scale out capabilities.
Exactly right. So, you know, one of the things I want to highlight is customers prefer choice and benefit from having best-in-class options. And in our case, software solutions from Arcus, that enables all of these best-in-class hardware deployment options as well as ODM options, the points that Keyur mentioned. And it, the key thing there is providing that in essentially the same time frame that the traditional OEMs have been bringing their solutions to the market. So by doing that, we believe we're democratizing the network industry. And that's why we have tried to highlight and focus on delivering software and being the first in the open networking industry to provide that consistently across both the switching line as well as the routing line.
So if you're developing your software for a range of Broadcom chipsets, so now you've got Trident 3, you've got Jericho, Jericho Plus, Jericho 2, Tomahawk, you know, there's a whole range of chipsets. I think that speaks to the flexibility of your architecture and how quickly you've been able to get to market with this product. But is that hard? Is that like, I don't normally see the traditional vendors leaping out with Jericho 2 ready support and like you're doing here. Is that just something that you've done as a core competency? Do you have some competitive edge that makes that like easy for you to do?
It is hard. And we do certainly believe that there is a competitive edge here, because if you look at the offerings from even the biggest incumbents out there, they have different network operating systems in some cases for different parts of the network. So they would have a operating system that's focused on the switching line, and they have another operating system focused on the routing line, because there was and no common adaptation or abstraction layer that's able to take control plane commands down to the data plane, regardless of the kind of chipset that it deals with below. So that is indeed hard. And that has been one of the key innovation points from the time the company was started.
It's a translation layer. In other words, if you can have a translation layer that takes whatever the command sets are that are coming in from the OS above, translates them into whatever the hardware is below, you can keep one set of code uniform, deal with the translation layer, in your case, DPAL, the data plane adaptation layer, to make sure that those commands flowing in are written into the hardware however it needs to be written. So it kind of reduces the amount of work and integration that you've got to do, because you can just focus on, in your case, DPAL.
Right. I would probably summarize that as a virtualization layer, if you will. So, you could think of a switch abstraction interface on a fixed form factor, and you could think of certain capabilities which you want a control plane to add up to when you start programming a switch ASIC. On the other hand, you can take the router fixed form factor boxes, and it may have different sets of capabilities. You could have the same chip which was running on the fixed form factors for the routers now have to be handled completely in a different way, Ethan, if you start to build a chassis-based architecture, or you start to offload the control plane off this fixed or a chassis-based systems. And therefore, I tend to look at that as a little bit of a virtualization layer in routing, if you will, where you sort of tell your control plane to be abstracted in a manner that it has no idea what it's running on, yet it magically runs on it and gives you a experience as if you were running a monolithic router.
Yeah, you're saying virtualization layer to make us think of like a hypervisor.
Exactly. Yeah. Kind of like that.
Yeah.
High performance hypervisor.
Hardware accelerated hypervisor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Indeed. Which is exactly the way modern hypervisors now work. They lean into silicon features. So it's not a performance loss anymore. I mean, we've seen the virtualization vendors now bragging that their virtualization is as fast as bare metal. It's not slower to run virtualization. It's the same speed because of hardware acceleration in the ASIC. I guess the other question I wanted to point out here is that you recently took a substantial funding round, like you got a $30 million funding round from a series of venture capitalists. The first thing that I thought about when I saw that is it's kind of interesting that you're getting that sort of financial support at such an early stage of your company. What's the logic behind that? What is it that's making you successful that people want to give you a big fat wadge of cash?
What the investors have seen is the success in the market. Arcus currently has two handfuls of customers and four handfuls of POCs, and right. We just want to ramp that as fast as possible. So with this 30 million Series B funding led by Lightspeed Venture partners, the way we plan to use it is by supporting this rapidly growing customer base, build right. strategic partnerships, and expand the reach, you know, this market-leading operating system, ArcOS.
I think that's important. If you're listening, if you're in the audience and you're listening to this, you might be thinking to yourself, well, you know, why would I do business with this company? And, you know, there's a challenge there about, do I accept them as a supplier or a vendor? And the fact that venture capitalists are putting in the money to scale the next phase of growth because they've proven the first generation of their business model should give you pause to think that that's where we're coming from, that this company is poised for the next phase of growth. Let's move on to talking about the next set of topics that we want to talk about. Now, ArcOS, we talked earlier about how ArcOS, which is your software that Arcus sells, ArcOS. It's always a little bit difficult to say on a podcast, but you're saying here that it enables a routing-centric transformation. So what are the key architectural requirements in your estimation?
It's a single architecture designed to operate on both switches as and routers, fixed form factors, chassis, and a software control plane offload models. It's designed to scale out, and it is 64-bit OS. Again, it because it's such a scaled operating system which operates at a layer 3 and routing, you could offload it or you could run it on box as a control plane system, right? It's built from the first principles, has an amazing amount of route scale built in by the sheer fact that it's 64-bit capable day one. It has high availability through built-in resiliency, done it in a very different way when you start to think of microservices-based architecture, right?
Yeah.
When you start to think about microservices in routing world, what you want to do is decouple the user space from the kernel and run most of the routing applications in user space, sort of like containerized model. If you do that, your HA becomes very simplified as your upgrade stories become relatively easy to do it.
This goes back to the old idea of the monolithic OS of years gone by, where the routing code was totally bound up with the operating system. And if you wanted to make one little change in the RIP protocol, you had to replace the entire operating system, right? Whereas Arcus is much more of a modular sort of an approach that, because the apps run in user space in a microservices sort of model, you can upgrade just that without taking down the OS or having to do a reboot or reset the ASIC or power cycle or any of those like service impacting things that we've had to do in years gone by.
Right. And Greg, you would know, nobody probably from operator community as well as development community will disagree with you in saying that if you just restart control plane, the time it takes to reboot the control plane is in orders of probably seconds compared to time it takes to boot the kernel up. So sounds so simple. But if you do that one little change in a systematic manner, you get huge benefits when it comes to HA.
I'm just reflecting on a chassis I used to work on, which used to take 60 minutes to boot. Can you imagine? Like that was a few years ago now, but you know, in these days, if you said to a customer, "Yeah, no, when you do a reboot, it's going to take an hour to come back," and they're going to go like, "What?" Those days are behind us, I think now.
And if you make a simple observation to that point, a lot of times when we provide and upgrade images to our customers, you'd notice that in huge percentage of those cases, you seldom require to reboot the Linux kernel unless you have a PSET that you have integrated in that, right?
Yeah. And this is your architecture again, right? This is this your user space, kernel space, modern design. We won't go into the details here. If people really want to get into the details, they can contact you, and I'm sure you'll have somebody camped out on their doorstep hours later, sort of thing. But
there is one architectural element I wanted to highlight, because I think it went by pretty quickly and some folks might have missed it. You said you can run a lot of this off box. And what I think that means is I've got control plane outside of my physical switch. Could you explain that? That style of architecture?
Yeah. So typically what folks may want to do is stack certain amount of fixed form filter boxes together. And instead of running control plane on box, they would rather have control plane run off box for a variety of the reasons. One of the reasons I cited was, if you look at IGP and you want to achieve an IGP scale in there, you don't want each box to run its own IGP, because that would be each separate instance, and that is a huge overload on SPF. So virtualizing that and running it on an offloading control plane has some values. And if you are about to do that, the challenges in those models are not about running control plane only from a centralized location, but emulate as if the control plane was actually running on each and every box. Is kind of like how chassis used to be, if you will, where you have RPs and RPs pushing packets out of line card as if the RPs and line cards were joined together.
Yeah, so this is this. The control planes were coherent. So even though the line card was nearly a full switch, the master control plane or the master copy of the MAC table or the routing database or the state tables was all on the route processor, but there was a subset down on the line card. And you're doing something in that sort of idea?
Yes, and that's why, Ethan, if you recall, I said earlier, I think of some of these things more like a virtualizing routing control plane, if you will, than an abstraction layer, because you are now pushing the control plane out of this fixed form factors, yet emulating them as if they're going out of those interfaces or the ports that are there on the fixed form factor, right? So that the routers, at the other hand, will never realize that you are running the control plane off the box. Yeah.
Yeah. The architecture gives you the opportunity to set it up that way if you want. And then it's just a question of design, latency, you know, these sort of things that you can, I want to deploy centralized because that works for me. Where it would be really, really difficult to do that with most operating systems as traditionally conceived.
Absolutely.
Right. I think the other side of this too is we've seen the traditional vendors struggle to get telemetry in. But this operating system architecture you're talking about would be, well, to my mind, easy to do telemetry. You can start streaming data off it without knocking the data, the operating system or the apps on their heads.
Yes, absolutely. And that goes back to one of the tenets of the architecture that we talked about earlier, which is that it's a scale-out architecture with exploits core counts. If it's going to be able to exploit the core count, then you could throw the problem of streaming onto number of cores. And you could say, for example, that any telemetry I want to do from BGP, if I make it an integral part of the protocol and actually throw core at it, I should be able to solve it.
And you can throw cores at it because most modern switches have quad core 16 virtual CPU type, you know, or substantial number of virtual CPUs to be used. You do have multi-core available to you.
Yes, and they come at a far more cost-effective price when you start to look at open integration versus the usual OEM-based models, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I probably should note here, in our architecture, any part of the telemetry we do is pretty much a standards-based. We are moving on to GNMI-based streaming telemetry, which is somewhat of a de facto standard in these days as we speak, right?
Right, yeah. But my point is that for some people, turning that on was a real problem. And I remember having discussions with people saying, oh, we've got to re-architect our operating systems and how the packet scheduling works to make sure that as we stream telemetry, it doesn't break things. And your architecture would appear to me to just like inherently be capable to do that.
Yes. I'm just going to reiterate the key to success there, at least we think, is scale-out architecture, standards-based models, and leverage somewhat of an open source software in terms of transports so that you don't have to reinvent your own IPC mechanism, which could actually limit you from a performance standpoint. If you look at Kafka, it's a pretty good streaming protocol, right?
Yeah, 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 and widely used at that. So well understood by people who are into that streaming telemetry. I wanted to question one of the things that we got some talking points here that we prepped before the show, and you're talking here about higher route table scale. Now, this is something that's at top of mind for me at the moment because somebody was talking to me about this. You're saying up to 2.6 million IPv4 routes and a 1.3 million IPv6. Now, that's going to be a function of the chip, isn't it? Or is that part of the Arcus operating system itself, or both?
So that limitation is a function of a chip, and you could scale that also with an assisted TCAM that Broadcoms of the world provide, and you can go in an excess of 4 million routes. That actually opens up interesting services kind of an applications, if you will, in VPN space to be addressed in future. But it's also somewhat of a control plane play in sense that when you operate at a scale that we are talking about, convergence cannot be ignored, right? And the control plane has to converge.
If you've got 2 million IP routes in a route table converging on your routing protocol and having copies of the BGP table or the OSPF table and all that, that's a serious issue, right? Getting just...
I'll tell you that there are certain pieces of open source software that we've been looking at that takes over an hour to converge. So yes, you can support some kind of a scale at 40 million paths or so forth or so on inside BGP, but if you're going to take an hour, that's going to be a non-stopper, right?
It's an issue. It's not something that everybody thinks about, and that's what I was just dipping into here. I want to shift the conversation back to ArcOS on the Jericho 2 and the 400 gig capability here, because I think this is a key. Now, the Jericho 2 is a new chipset from Broadcom. What are there specific features in the Jericho 2 that Arcos is bringing to market? Because the chipset is like got hundreds of features in the actual silicon itself. Is Arcos picking all of those or just some of those features?
Yes, ArcOS is picking up all of those capabilities and more. So as you said, we get up to 10 terabits of switching capacity, 5 times the performance compared to the prior generation, 70% better power consumption. And those are just the physical attributes, right? In addition to that, when you use that capability in conjunction with key control plane as well as software-driven functionalities such as BGP Flow Spec, you're able to provide real-time ability to make decisions that impact networks. So it's essentially efficient carrier-grade traffic management.
So let me ask you about the packet buffer things, right? A lot of people say that the white box doesn't have good packet buffering, and yet there are other companies out there saying that there is. Is this a function of the silicon itself, or is this a function of the software, or both, I guess?
It is a function of the silicon. So the Strata DNX family, as an example from Broadcom, the Strata DNX family, of which Jericho 2 is the highest end, has a deep buffer-based chipset. So what that allows you to do is you now are able to address broader set of router use cases that was not possible before. So now you can do deep buffer 400 gig routing where you're kind of trying to consolidate a number of 100 gig routers. You can look at special use cases, for example, media flow productions for media rich content, or right, storage use cases where you want lossless capability. So you can actually build even within data centers, these specialized data center use cases that are spine leaves built with deep buffer designs.
Right.
And then,
so what you're driving at there is there's actually different even though the Jericho 2 is a chipset, it's not one chip. There's actually multiple products in the family. In the same way that an Intel x86, there's usually like 70 different SKU numbers, and some of them have, you know, 6 cores, some of them 8 cores, some of them have 2 cores, and some of them do this and buffer and, like, you know, like, the same thing exists in the Broadcom chipsets, is that there's all different models. But Arcos is still the same operating system, and it will use the features that are capable in the silicon regardless of which ASIC you're running. So you could pick the right ASIC for the architecture. So you might want deep buffers at the edge on the leaf nodes, but you don't. Maybe you want a higher speed, low latency chip in the spine layer, but you still got the same operating system across all the switches.
That's exactly right. So with a supported form factors that ranges from fixed to high density fixed, and the off box solutions with the stackable set of platforms, now you actually have the flexibility of addressing a number of use cases, including the ones that I mentioned earlier, but also edge cloud POPs, 5G POPs, internet peering nodes, and a bunch of routing security. Now, as you know, very well know, as the number of sites and locations start plugging into the internet, you are now exposing a lot more sites to a different variety of attacks. So essentially, internet routing security becomes even more critical, both from a control plane point of view as well as from a data plane, for example, with DDoS attacks. So now, with this ArcOS solution, we are able to offer a number of capabilities that address those requirements as well.
At the very high level, Greg, one of the things we wanted to highlight was, if you look at a router, if you step back and look at a router that's made available by different OEMs today, you'd see that they operate in a lot of cases as a black box.
Yeah.
And a lot of resources that are being used within the router are not exactly accounted for, or you do not have a way to account for it. And one of the things we are trying to address through our support for Jericho 2-based chipsets, where the port densities are going to be so interesting that the operator community will pretty much would want to try this out. We want to go solve that problem as well, to say, hey, in an open integration world, how do you talk about accountability of the hardware that you are trying to deploy with the software that you have?
Yeah.
And that is what Murli was alluding to when he was talking about some security aspects. We also go and talk about what your TCAM utilizations are today, or what your ASIC utilizations are in terms of QoS or route capacities or interface buffering, queuing statistics, so forth and so on, so that the operator knows what exactly is going on at that level, at least has a means to extrapolate that data.
To try and read that back to you, I think what you're saying is that your operating system, the ArcOS network operating system, is actually something I can get inside of and see everything that's happening. You're not preventing me from seeing what's happening inside of your architecture and inside your software. As an operator working in a scale-out environment, I have to be able to know what's happening because I'm betting a substantial business in there, and you're going to let me get inside the operating system and at least see what's happening. Maybe not change anything, but know how much data is flowing in and out of the control plane and to maybe even tune it up or stuff as needed.
Absolutely. You purchased it, so it's yours. You should have the full exposure to data from your systems. So a telemetry solution that can provide you significant amount of control plane, environmentals, data plane, and other kinds of policy plane information will allow you to make smarter decisions and, you know, protect your network.
None of those secret engineering modes that only certain individuals have access to, and all of a sudden all the answers become obvious when you see them.
Exactly. I want to draw the listeners' attention to the fact that ArcOS with Jericho 2 based platforms is ready to be generally available by the end of this quarter, that is Q3 of this calendar year, in another month or so. So essentially, we have already gotten customers engaging in POCs and trials. So this is a great time to bring in your requirements and reach out to us.
Right. And so far, you're supporting the 100 gig iterations because they're the products that are out there. But when the Jericho 2 gets to 400 gig, you're going to be ready for that.
Yeah, we do have a 100 gig, 400 gig variant as well. Mm. But you're right. As the various flavors of 400 gig come into the market, we'll be the first to support them.
Right,
as
yeah. The Jericho 2, the ODMs aren't making 400 gig switches quite yet. But that'll be, you know, end of the year, early next year. So, and if you want 400 gig, that's not going to make a whole lot of difference to your life between now and early next year, I wouldn't have thought. All right. Now, the one thing that you wanted to touch on today, too, is this product that I'm quite interested in, and which is ArcIQ. So, Murali, why don't you tell me a little bit about the early availability of this new product that you're announcing?
ArcIQ is an AI-driven analytics platform, the platform that is designed for the modern NOC, the Network Operations Center. It is open, standards-based, easy to integrate with third-party monitoring systems, and it's deployable either on-premise or on the cloud, whether that's the customer's cloud or an ArcOS-hosted cloud. The key thing to note here is that ArcIQ as an analytics platform is designed to provide three key fundamental value propositions: real-time visibility, real-time control of your network, and security across the full routing spectrum, whether that's in the data center or at the edge.
So this isn't an SDN controller. This is an analytics engine. And it takes the telemetry data that ArcOS produces and then starts telling me about what's happening. And that telemetry data can be used for security. Is something evil happening? I've got overloads happening here, too much bandwidth consumed, there's congestion in a buffer. That's the sort of platform that you're reaching for with Arc IQ?
So, yes, and it does from simplest things to most complicated things, right? I'll tell you this, 10 years back when we were overlooking the routing networks, we would talk with operators who would write scripts, and you know this well, that they would write scripts to monitor the CPU and memory usage. Well, this day and age, you don't need to do that. If the box is streaming out, Arc IQ can automatically monitor that, keep a time series database and time series history out of it, and tell you over the period of time if a certain process on a certain box within a set of routers that or switches that you're operating or managing or overlooking, let's say if the memory is going up, down, what's happening with that. So there is that angle to it, which is fairly simplified task.
But you also said at the top about AI driven. Does that mean you're actually building in some autonomy and self-operation? So it's actually able to say, I see there's an anomaly here. I know what I need to do.
That's exactly right. It's Arc IQ is able to detect anomalies, whether that's a control plane based anomaly or whether that's a DDoS example, data plane based anomaly, provide visualization, provide alerts to the operators, and also that results obviously in massive network uptime. It also, one key element that Arc IQ has is that it continuously learns and then focuses on helping the operators simplify their operations and defend against evolving threats. So for example, the route origin validation is a very good example of a securing of the control plane when that anomaly is hit. And the DDoS mitigation solution is another good example of a data plane-based security solution.
So now one thing I want to call you guys... not call you guys out, but something I wanted to highlight here. You said standards-based. Now, in the world of monitoring and telemetry, standards-based isn't the thing you think about unless you're thinking about maybe how you're getting the data. Like back in the day of SNMP, that was the only standard you could really talk about, because after that, baby, it was whatever private enterprise MIB and OIDs you could find under there, and there wasn't a whole lot standard about it. So when you say Arc IQ is standards-based, what are we talking about here? The way that the telemetry is flowing off the devices and parsing out that telemetry in a generally agreed upon industry model?
Yes. So when we say standards based here, we are talking about two key elements, right? One is your data itself has to be built on standards based models. If that's not built on standards based models, however you send it across, it's not going to be a scalable and efficient model on the other side to decode that and make sense of it and then drive insights out of it. So in this case, we have in the models case, our data models are all based on OpenConfig Yang, and that is something that's how it's constructed in our data store, right? Then we're talking about the ability to actually stream out this data using standards or de facto standards such as GNMI, the thing that Keyur pointed out, and use standards communication processes across the entire spectrum so that Arc IQ also is able to decode GNMI and then be able to provide those insights into the analytics platform. So absolutely. And that's critical, because you now are not talking about just one data center or one router somewhere. You're talking about an attack vector that spans the entire spectrum.
And over and about to what Murali said, from a models perspective, there is a lot of work being done in standardizing these models at IETF and other standards bodies. So we would naturally gravitate around using those models, but where we don't have standards, we design and define our own JSON-based models and we give it out to our customers.
All of our discussions, Keo, have always focused around Arcus being standards-based where you can. And I don't think you're going to go around inventing your own standards, because whatever, you're definitely going to be leaning into standards works where it exists. And the IETF is still
absolutely
working its way through. And you have a substantial financial commitment to people in the IETF today.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we want to make sure by using or by adopting to standards-based approach, we help our operators community to help reduce their OPEX and CAPEX, ongoing OPEX and CAPEX in their network, right?
Yeah.
So, Keir, one of the times I've met you in person was at an IETF meeting, so I know you're monitoring what goes on there. Just a quick opinion from you. Do you feel then that the efforts with models and Yang and all that is going well enough? You're supporting it. You believe this is all happening and are building support in here, it sounds like.
It does, especially from the configuration and operations and management standpoint, the model work that is going, ongoing model work that's happening at IETF, I think it's a matter of time. They'll get standardized and they are actively being deployed in the network as we speak. The telemetry part is a little early, if you ask me, but the work's going on. And as you know, IETF takes time to standardize some of these things. But in time, all of this should be standardized. There's a huge value in doing it.
Good. That's good news.
So you can start now and then iterate into the standards as time goes by.
Absolutely. You know, the last point I wanted to make about the standardization is that as a vendor, what we want to do and we really try and focus on doing is be very, very sensitive to the fact that the models could change in process of getting standardized, and therefore the software should be architected and written in a manner that is adaptable to the changes as and when it gets standardized, so as to not worry about incorporating those changes and making huge changes to the software eventually when it gets standardized.
Yeah. So the point here is that you're engaged in the IETF, you know what's coming, you know the models are under development, so you're designing for the final standards when they come. You can iterate around them as they emerge.
Yes.
It's not going to be a surprise to you or to your customers. Your products will support that.
Absolutely. And more specifically, the software will be adaptable to that.
Well, thanks to Arcus for sponsoring today's show. We've pretty much run through all of the topics. And just to sort of recap, if you're still listening at this stage, Arcus is a new type of operating system which is focused on this routing-centric network transformation. And the operating system is tightly bound into the ASICs. It's got all the ASIC features that you want. It's going to be able to deliver to you. But what I also find interesting is that they're moving very fast into the new ASICs. And now we're seeing them start to put some software together with the ArcIQ visibility. And this is a bit early. The ArcIQ won't be available until the end of 2019, but this is your chance to get over there and talk to them. And I'm sure that if you contact them, they'll be very quick to qualify you and give you the support that you need to see if this is a product that's right for you. So our thanks to Arcus for sponsoring today's show and to give us some insight into the process of the ArcOS network operating system, and perhaps this has tweaked your interest. You can find lots more information on their website at Arcus, that's ARRCUS.com, where there's a whole bunch of white papers and other resources, and also you can contact the company. We've got some show notes and links to other shows that we've done in Packet Pushers. If you wanted to listen to those and get more information, you can find them on packetpushers.net, and also the fine smorgasbord of other podcasts on a wide range of networking technologies. And as always, remember that too much technology would never be enough.